Michael Brown here. I am so glad we get to spend this time together on the Line of Fire. Sit back, enjoy the program. If it blesses you, share it with a friend. How do righteous people respond when wickedness triumphs? How do righteous people react when they see injustice all around them? There's an amazing passage in the book of Job, and we're going to open it up today, right here on the Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into The Line of Fire.
Look, you know one thing for sure. If you listen to the Line of Fire broadcast, you're going to hear the truth. You're going to hear about some rough things happening in the society. You're going to hear some truthful assessments about some problems in the church. We are not going to stick our heads in the sand. You know that. You understand that, especially as we serve as a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. We've got to identify the problems. But the bigger question is, okay, then, what do we do? All right, heard the bad news, okay, saw the problem, so now what? How do I respond? What do I do, especially as a child of God? Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on the Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, or on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. I'm looking right now at a number of fascinating comments. I asked this question on Facebook. Let me put it to you now. And then we're going to talk through some things happening in society and then look at a verse in the book of Job, a little passage in Job that is phenomenal. It's one of the most exceptional passages in Scripture in terms of addressing this issue. So here's the question that I put on Facebook. When you hear the latest reports about gay activist victories from President Obama saying that he'll no longer defend the Defense of Marriage Act, to the UK ruling that a Christian couple can no longer adopt children because they can't affirm homosexual practice, how does this make you feel as a believer? What emotional or spiritual response does this produce in your heart? I found it fascinating that yesterday, after I had posted some things that we were discussing on the air, one woman posted this, and in no way am I critical for her post this. I fully understand. She posted this on my homepage. I can't read your posting anymore today. Too hard to take. Lord, have mercy on this generation. How do you feel when you hear these reports? I just want you to tell me honestly. I'm not asking for a perfect Christian response. I'm asking for you to tell me honestly. You get mad? You get angry? Do you get sad? Do you get hopeless? Does it drive you to prayer? Does it drive you to more faith that God is at work as you see things spiraling out of control around us? Does it make you think, well, this is it. These are just the end times. Everything's going down. Let's just get out of here. How does it make you feel? What kind of reaction is produced in you? I want to not only hear from you, and I'll read some of the responses that have been posted. I want to talk with you about how we should respond, okay? I understand it's only natural. We're human beings. We hear certain things. Maybe it's another area that's of concern to you. This is something that I've focused on by divine calling and mandate, and also, I believe, because it's a critical issue, I focused on these issues having to do with homosexual activism. At the same time, we want to reach out to every person who identifies as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and demonstrate the love and goodness of God to them. But I've focused on this, so I get these emails constantly. I mean, hardly a day goes by without me getting several emails, either from friends, colleagues, or from some gay leadership organization or whatever, and they're all talking about this just happened, this just happened, this just happened. Or run into someone and they'll say, have you heard what happened here? Did you see this on TV? Were you aware of this? This is one of these things we can't avoid. But how do we respond as believers? How do we respond as people who know God? There's a passage I love to refer to in 1 Chronicles, the 12th chapter, in the 32nd verse. It's about the sons of Issachar. The sons of Issachar were those who stood with David. They were part of the 12 tribes of Israel, standing with David when the kingdom was turned over to him in Hebron. So these were part of his mighty men, part of his army. All right? And the thing that's fascinating about them is it's the smallest number out of all those listed. And out of all those listed from the 12 tribes, it doesn't mention that they had all this weaponry. It doesn't mention that they were proficient fighters. You know what it says? They understood the times and knew what Israel should do. Oh, they understood the times and knew what Israel should do. You know, all too often we're interested in understanding the times. All too often we're interested in the latest prophetic truth or the latest prophetic happening or the latest prophecy being fulfilled or the latest sign of the end times or the latest sign of the coming of the Lord. And that's fine. That's fine. I mean, it doesn't mean we're accurate or right, but that's fine to have an interest in that. But the bigger question is not just what time is it, but what should I do? If it is this time, what therefore should I do? So let's focus on a terribly unrighteous thing that happened recently. And Joey, let's listen to that sound bite from Pastor Ken Hutcherson, who is extremely upset with President Obama for saying he will no longer defend the Defense of Marriage Act.
Two federal courts have ruled the Defense of Marriage Act unconstitutional, and that means the ruling will stand in those circuit districts if no one steps up to the plate. Dr. Ken Hutcherson, senior pastor of Antioch Bible Church in Kirkland, Washington, tells AFN President Obama is flying in the face of the will of the people.
For him to stand up and say that he's not going to defend the law tells me how much he is overstepping his bounds in the aspects of going against the people's will. And we've seen that over and over and over again the last 2 years.
Could that be considered arrogance?
It's past arrogance. I think it is. It's delusional.
He says the church could help bring that attitude to a halt.
Our church is getting so anemic today that there's just no power in it. And I think that this is a call for shepherds, for leaders of the church, leaders of ministries, to say that we need to band together again and put a stop to this type of tyranny towards Christian values and views.
Hutcherson urges people to encourage Congress to intervene, which it can do, to provide a legal defense of the Defense of Marriage Act.
All right, so according to Pastor Hutcherson, what our president has done is beyond arrogance. It is delusional, and he takes it as a call now for churches, for leaders to stand together and act, saying we become so anemic. Okay, bad things are happening. Unjust things are happening. Unrighteous things are happening. We see an unraveling of right and wrong, an unraveling of family, an unraveling of morality in the heterosexual home, an unraveling in morality in so many ways, so pervasive in our society, a losing sense of right and wrong. The horrific ruling we talked about yesterday from the High Court in England saying that a Christian couple could not adopt or provide foster care for children anymore, having done it for many, many years. They could not because of their Christian beliefs, specifically because they could not affirm homosexuality. So if they take in a kid, they didn't care about the sexual orientation of the kid. They're going to care for the kid anyway. But they take a kid in as if, who knows, a little child, what they're going to understand about sexual orientation anyway. But they take a child in their home. Think of this. They cannot adopt a child because they might say to that child, you know, according to the Bible, homosexual practice is wrong. Or simply because they cannot affirm to that child, yeah, sure, absolutely, homosexual practice is fine. Heterosexual practice doesn't matter. Two moms, two dads, one mom, one dad, doesn't matter. Because they couldn't say that, they can't adopt kids. But we read the news reports a couple weeks ago, Elton John and his partner have a baby, quote, have a baby. A little difficult for two men to do that, but they, quote, have a baby. They're going to raise a baby. They can do that in England. It's celebrated on newspapers, magazines around the world, but a Christian couple. And obviously Elton John and his partner, there's one of them that's the father, biological father, and then there's another woman that's the mother. But otherwise there's the adopting of a baby on some level or having a baby through a surrogate mother. They can do it. They can do it. That's fine. In fact, it's wonderful. In fact, it's touching. It's warm. It's, oh, isn't that a great story? That's the way it's being presented. Whereas this couple might infect, that was an actual word that was used by folks arguing against it. They might infect their adopted child with the view that homosexual practice is not good. This is an outrage, and it's one of many outrages that have been taking place in America, in England, in Canada, in other countries, having to do with gay activism. I've got an article in front of me by Robert Knight and townhall.com, Obama to God and America, You're Wrong About Marriage, where Robert Knight says it's a good thing Barack Obama is not in charge of defending the law of gravity, or we'd all be floating up to an airless death? Knight says, allow me to take off the gloves. As one who helped draft the first version of the Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA, I regard Obama's order to Attorney General Eric Holder to abandon DOMA's legal defense as lawless, reckless, arrogant, and a violation of his oath of office. I think it's an impeachable offense. I'm just warming up. There are a lot of outrageous things happening. How should we, as believers, respond? So, first question, when you hear this kind of news, how does it make you feel? I mean, you're listening. You're like, I want to shut the radio, but you can't get away from it. You're listening. How does it make you feel? And then how should we respond? We're going to talk about this and get into the book of Job, a stunning verse that speaks to us today. Stay with us. No denying it. No denying it. A lot of bad news out there. A lot of injustice out there. A lot of wrongs being called right. A lot of rights being called wrong. How do you feel about that? How do you respond to it, Michael Brown? Thank you for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Go online, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. By the way, don't forget, you can study with me online. Some of the best courses I teach at Fire School of Ministry, Jewish Roots, Principles of Revival, Holiness Coming Soon. You can study online with me. Just go to askdrbrown.org and click on our online bookstore, and you'll find out how you can study online, and we can spend hours and hours. Think of that. Think of that. Diving into the Word together. All right. We're going to open the Scriptures shortly. I want to share some responses that some of our listeners, some of our friends on Facebook have already posted. When you hear these reports, when you hear about just gross injustice in the name of justice, gross injustice by the courts, blindness, spiritual blindness, how do you feel? James said, it makes me have aggressive thoughts. I'd seriously like to slap the holy stupid out of our world leaders, though I know that isn't the answer. I'm just being honest. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. So he's telling the truth. I'm ticked. I'm mad. But here's what you know. Can I be as plain and blunt as I can be? If we respond in the flesh, we are not in the spirit. Is that profound enough? Simple enough? All right. If we get all worked up in the flesh, angry, mad, I'm going to do something, then we are fighting flesh with flesh. In fact, we're no better than those that we're opposing. If we're claiming that people are doing worldly things and acting in worldly ways, and we respond in a worldly way, we are no better. Not only so, we're not going to help. We can't bring a solution. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, that though we live in this world, live in the flesh, we don't wage war in the flesh in this world. The weapons of our warfare are spiritual. So I fully understand some will get angry. And there is an anger that can be righteous, but I appreciate James being honest. And I just get so mad, I want to slap sense into people, but I know that's wrong, okay? And he said, personally, I find myself praying more and more for the righteous judgment of God to come. You know, one reason that the psalmist prayed in such vivid terms and prayed for judgment and justice to come, and by the way, if you are praying for the return of Jesus, you are praying for judgment and justice to come. If you're praying the Lord's Prayer, it's not just some lovely church prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's not just some lovely liturgical prayer. We are praying for the return of the Lord Jesus, according to 2 Thessalonians 1, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who don't know God. We're praying for judgment. Luke, the 18th chapter, Jesus talks about those who cry out for justice day and night. If there are people being oppressed, say in sex trafficking, people being sold into sex slavery, and we are praying for God to save them, we are also praying for justice to arise. Justice is a good thing. That's going to mean judgment on the sex traffickers. Ideally, we want them to repent and be saved, but they will reap what they have sown, and they will pay a price for their actions. So, there is a sense where when you see injustice, you pray for justice. That's a right response. Jeff says when he hears these reports, he's speechless. Holly said, emotionally, it makes me angry. Spiritually, I hear God sounding an alarm to wake me up. I do not deny that the days are getting darker, and yet I know that God will have his way. Maria said, sad, this world is going down by the drain, but happy, his second coming is around the corner. Gil said, I'm saddened by the UK ruling, but know that the witness of our love is more powerful than any hate this world can throw at it. Just as the Roman Christians prayed for the leaders who were sentencing them to death, we who live in the shadow of empire pray for those who seek to end our faith as well. Hey, can I ask you a question? Is our society in every way more wicked today than it was in the days when we had slave trade going on? And when you had professing Christian leaders endorsing the slave trade, of course, many Christians opposed it. It was Christians ultimately who overthrew it. But are we in every way more wicked today in America than we were in the days of the slave trade? Just a question. Or is the world overall in worse shape today with all the chaos taking place and all of the godlessness? Is it in worse shape today, say, than during World War II when Hitler was butchering 6 million Jews and many others, and when Stalin, in the aftermath of this, was butchering his millions, and then in the aftermath of that, Mao Zedong butchering his millions? Is the world overall definitely worse than it was then? Just asking questions. Is the situation in America worse than it was in Rome, where Paul lived and ministered, when Christians were being thrown to the lions? Paul lived there, of course, as a prisoner, but where many Christians lived, and they were thrown to the lions, and there were public events. Picture that. Picture America getting to that point where there are public events where people pack a stadium or a coliseum. Even in communist China, they don't have a public event where you pack a stadium and Christians are beaten and tortured and killed, or wild animals are set loose on them. So just to give you a perspective on the wickedness in the world, there's always been wickedness. There's always been sin. There's always been corruption. Things today are not as bad as they were in Noah's day, when God wiped out the entire earth and could only find Noah as a righteous man. There are plenty more righteous people on the earth today than one. So let's keep our perspective when we talk about the wickedness of the world. But hey, come on. Let me read you one more story. This is from Illinois. And if your blood hasn't boiled yet, oh, this will get it boiling. And then I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to you about how we respond, to these things, what our attitude should be. And we will get into the scriptures. We will get in the book of Job. Oh, come on. I had my stack of things here. I was just looking at it. Maybe a demon came in the room and stole the papers. No, I don't think so. Oh, okay. But how about this news? Lady Gaga said she would, this is on 365gay.com, 1 week ago. Lady Gaga said she would release an exclusive edition of her Born This Way album to Target stores if the company makes efforts to support the gay community. The new edition includes remixes and three extra studio songs. Target previously gave a donation to anti-gay Minnesota politician Tom Emmer. Yeah, Target made a contribution to a political candidate that they liked, and the political candidate happened to say, you know, marriage is the union of a man and a woman. Target made a donation to them. There was an outcry in the gay community. Target was boycotted. Target immediately apologized, said, we won't do that again. Gaga met with company executives for a conversation where she stressed how supporting the gay community was important to her, her fans, and their partnership. By the way, I do not know a lot about this young lady, although I pray for her to come and find mercy from the Lord in repentance and salvation and wholeness in him. But I do know that based on her public policy stands and what she seems to exemplify, I'm coming up with a little motto: if Gaga's for it, I'm against it. But boy, I mean, things are going one direction only in terms of what's right, what's allowed, what's okay. And increasingly, standing up for what's right is being called what's wrong. What do we do about it? How do we respond? I'm going to tell you the answer. We're going to open up the book of Job right on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. I'm still baffled. I've gone through all my stacks of stuff here. I was looking at the papers earlier, put everything in order, and I just can't find this one particular story. I checked the trash to see if it was thrown out. It just disappeared. What do you know? Michael Brown, but that won't detain us. Thanks for being with us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, online, askdrbrown.org. But tell you what, if you go to askdrbrown.org and click on Line of Fire, you'll see a link. It says Shocking News from Illinois, and I'm looking at that link now. Yeah, I don't have the paper, but I just look at it online. No crisis here. Homosexuals sue Christian bed and breakfast owner for refusing civil union ceremony. It's by Laurie Higgins, director of the Illinois Family Institute, DSA. Attacks on religious liberty and freedom of conscience have started mere weeks after Governor Pat Quinn signed the civil unions bill into law, just as we warned. Yes, yes. Read the article for yourself. Read the article for yourself. You'll get further provoked. The question is, how do we respond when these things happen? How do we respond when they happen around us? We got a call yesterday towards the end of the show from a young woman who's a teacher. She teaches fifth grade middle school. She was at Elon University in a children's literature class. And she called to let us know what happened and how difficult it was for her to speak up. Let's listen to the call from yesterday. Jen in Greensboro. All right, why is it that Christians are not standing up?
I think that both reasons that you just mentioned, I think for me it's both. I think I'm afraid of being lumped in with the Fred Phelps. And because that is the tendency, like you said, until you affirm it, you're just considered intolerant and a bigot. And but I also think it's just that we're afraid of being persecuted, really. I mean, that's what it boils down to. And I just had an experience in a graduate class a couple of weeks ago, and I'm a teacher, and everyone in the room but me seemed to agree that homosexuality was okay, was good, and should be, you know, affirmed in our classrooms, and I was appalled, but I didn't speak up, and I'm so mad at myself, and I feel like, you know, sometimes it takes me a few minutes away from the situation to think about what should I have said, and yes, wish I had the opportunity to go back, and I would have said, you know, not everybody agrees with that, and that's not my job as a teacher to teach those things. If we're not allowed to say that it's, you know, wrong, why should we be allowed to say that it's right? That's not even why we're there.
All right, I'm gonna jump in here. Listen, it's a difficult situation. You're in a class. You've got 15, 20 peers in that class. You're the only one that's not in agreement with what the professor's saying. Whatever you say at that moment, unless you have real wisdom from the Lord, it could seem that you're just bigoted, small-minded, intolerant, a negative witness, a Bible basher, just using the Bible to hit people over the head, out of touch with reality, etc. And sometimes it's intimidating. Either you don't know what to say or you don't know how to approach it. So I find many times that when we hear bad news, we hear wrong things, we are surrounded by it. We don't know the right way to respond. Not just the words. Sometimes we don't have the information. I know because my spoken Hebrew is not nearly as good as my biblical Hebrew. My biblical Hebrew is strong. I can read that like I'm reading English. My spoken Hebrew is kind of weak because I never concentrated on it that much in school. And if I'm going to go to Israel and have quality conversations with people, I've really got to work on it for some time to get it back to where it needs to be. So I will avoid, if someone's going to talk to me in Hebrew, I'll kind of avoid it because I really don't know what to say. But that's one thing. The other thing is the set of emotions that we go through. We're alone in our home. We're reading something online or in a newspaper. We see something on TV news. We're not around other people, but we get the bad news. We get the whatever the report is. It's just, this is so unjust. This is so unfair. This is so wrong. How do we respond? Hopelessness? Fleshly anger? maybe a fleshly response. We're just going to do something, and it's not a godly response. We're just going to take political action. We're just going to boycott. We're just, oh, okay. Maybe there's a place for some of those things, but is it what the Spirit is saying? Is it a godly response? Is it a biblical response? Is it in keeping with the principles of Jesus? Or maybe just end times despair. Hey, it's all coming down anyway. Something, again, I encourage you to re-examine before you just hold to that, because every generation could say that, because every generation's faced some kind of moral crisis. But let's go to the book of Job, chapter 17. And I am thrilled that I've been recently assigned by Hendrickson Publishers the job of writing a commentary on the book of Job. I'll have several years to do it, and we're going to have, with God's help, intense theological discussion about the difficult aspects that are raised in Job. It won't just be a commentary that for scholars. It'll be something scholars can use, but those that really want to wrestle through the issues of justice and what's called theodicy, the question of suffering and God, be able to do it. So I'm going to be in Job a lot. But let me read to you, reading from the New Living Translation, just to bring things out vividly. Job 17, in the midst of his anguish, suffering, pain, which to him he knows is not just because he's not a wicked man that should have had these things happen to him and his family. My spirit is crushed and my life is nearly snuffed out. The grave is ready to receive me. I am surrounded by mockers. I watch how bitterly they taunt me. You must defend my innocence, O God, since no one else will stand up for me. You have closed their minds to understanding, but do not let them triumph. They betray their friends for their own advantage, so let their children faint with hunger. God has made a mockery of me among the people. They spit in my face. My eyes are swollen with weeping, and I am but a shadow of my former self. The virtuous are horrified when they see me. The innocent rise up against the ungodly. The righteous keep moving forward, and those with clean hands become stronger and stronger. In fact, I'm going to read it to you from the NIV. Here's what's happening. People see what's happened to Job. Righteous men see what's happened to Job, and it messes with them. This shouldn't be. Now, this is a different situation than what we've been talking about in the news and so on, and unrighteousness in the society. But I think you get my drift. This is not the way it's supposed to be. This is totally wrong. Here's Job, a man who feared God, who walked with God, who was the most exceptionally righteous man on the planet, the way it's described in his conduct, in his walk. You take a look through Job 31 and see how the man lived. They see what's happened to him, and it doesn't seem right. And what happens? Verse 8 of Job 17, upright men are appalled at this. Ah, the innocent are aroused against the ungodly. Nevertheless, the righteous will hold to their ways, and those with clean hands will grow stronger. There's something we've got to understand and get into the mind of Job here. What he's seeing, what he's understanding, because it's really important for us. Because friends, what I want to propose to you is, whatever's happening in the society, no matter how evil, wicked, ungodly, no matter how much Satan is destroying lives, no matter how many people are making wrong, ungodly decisions, no matter how much sin and corruption there might be among God's people, there is a reaction when we see these things that should produce strength in us and further resolve to do what's right. We will talk that through on the other side of the break. By the way, before we get back to the book of Job, some big news. I reported yesterday, Jerusalem Post, but it's gotten a lot of circulation. According to Louis Farrakhan, it is the Jews who are pushing the U.S. into war. Nation of Islam leader says his comments on Jews are meant to pull the cover off Satan and Zionists dominate the U.S. government and banks. Yep. Louis Farrakhan, 77 years old, made the comments at the Nation of Islam's annual meeting near Chicago. Apparently, he spoke for something like 4 hours. By the way, if I take issue with Mr. Farrakhan and what he says, why is it that I'm not being accused of being racially motivated in my comments by Christian listeners? But if I take issue with President Obama and his views, some Christian listeners will say I'm being racially motivated. Strange, isn't it? Okay, back to Job 17, 866-34-TRUTH. How do we respond? How do we respond when we see injustice around us, when we see right being called wrong and wrong being called right? I understand the range of emotions we can go through, but ultimately, as people of God, we are not to react, we are to respond. As people of God, we look at a situation, we might be grieved, we might be pained, but then we go to the Lord, and in fellowship with Him, we get His plan, we get His response. The anger of man, according to James, Jacob, chapter 1, the anger of man does not accomplish God's righteous will. And one of the things you can be sure of is if you get angry in the flesh, if it is not the Holy Spirit burdening you with something, with a call to action, if you get angry in the flesh, you can be sure that it will not produce God's will. So here's what happens, and I'm just looking at the Hebrew text as I speak to you now. There's injustice. There's terrible suffering. It ought not to be the way it is. Job 17:8. The upright are appalled over this. No, it should not be. We should be burdened. We should be grieved. We should be pained. We should be hurt. And then it says, and the one with clean hands, the innocent, is stirred against the ungodly. In other words, this does not produce the attitude of I'm going to throw in the towel. This does not produce the attitude of it's time to quit. I talked to you about an editorial in USA Today last week where the basic thesis of the editorial writer was Christians, wake up, you know, look at the handwriting on the wall. You've lost the battles that you want to fight for about homosexual activism in this country. It's over, and even Christians are recognizing this is not the battle to fight. So get off it. Quit. Throw in the towel. Fascinatingly, when I talked about that on the air and when I posted that on Facebook, the overwhelming responses were from people. We're going to stand. This call to throw in the towel produced the opposite reaction from folks. Then verse 9. The righteous, nevertheless, the righteous will hold fast to his way, and the one with pure hands will add to his strength. In other words, it creates a deeper resolve. Let me try to get you into the psychology of this, all right? New Jewish Version renders, the righteous man holds to his way. He whose hands are clean grows stronger. You know that persecution can be devastating. Islamic persecution of churches in the Middle and Far East in the 13th, 14th century obliterated much of the Christian world at that time. Persecution can be devastating, but what you commonly see is that in times of persecution, the church grows more and more. What you often see happening is that believers are further stirred. Believers are further provoked. Believers are further moved, that they have to do something. Here, when you see the wickedness of the wicked, when people say in an Islamic world, in Pakistan, a Christian was killed, parliamentarian, a Christian minister, so governmental servant, he was killed. He was trying to fight against the harsh anti-blasphemy law in Pakistan and other Muslim countries, where someone just basically accuses you, if you blaspheme Muhammad, you're going to be put to death. Unless there's just evidence that can't be argued with, you're going to be put to death. He gets shot and killed as a result of that. What happens is you see the wickedness of the wicked. You see, for me, when I see gay activism doing what it's doing, as much as it's painful, when I see gay activism overtly saying our rights trump your rights, you don't even have the right in the privacy of your home to say that homosexual practice is wrong. In fact, you have to affirm it or you can't even adopt kids. When I see those things happen, as much as it's grievous and painful, it's encouraging to me because we're seeing the real spirit of this thing, the real intimidating spirit that those who are in the closet now want to put us in the closet. When we see these things happening, friends, rather than us running, it should give us courage to stand strong, because the darker the darkness is, the more opportunity for light to shine. We'll come back with some practical suggestions on the other side of the break. Welcome back back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you and wishing once again we had some more time to be together. We're talking about our response to suffering, our response to injustice, our response to unrighteousness. Does it discourage us, or can we use that to be strengthened in God to do what is right? Let me grab one quick call before I give you my closing thoughts. Brenda in High Point, thanks for calling in.
Hey, Dr. Brown, I know that he's going to say, welcome, my good and faithful servant. You encourage me so much. But getting to it real quick, one of the little things that I've done is on my answering machine, on my telephone, I will say, like, what's on there now is, if you're an authentic Christian, please pray for Charlie Sheen's salvation. Because he's not bizarre, he's not a monster, he needs Jesus. And you would be amazed how many people will call back to leave them crying, and it moves them. And so that's all I had to say.
Well, thank you, Brenda, so much. I appreciate that. All right, so here's Brenda saying, you hear about some actor, some star, whose life is falling apart in a very public way. So she's constantly putting out a call to pray for that person. In other words, when you see things that are wrong, when you see lives falling apart, you can be appalled, you can be grieved, you can be angry. And we're talking about a number of different things here, from someone's life falling apart to injustice in society to things that just don't seem right in terms of suffering, etc. But in every case, this can drive us to God. Can I just suggest to you that you think about your emotions and put them in the category of what draws me to God, or what do I experience when I am closer to God, and what drives me away from God, or what do I experience when I am further from God? And what you always want to do is move in the direction of the emotions, the attitude, the mindset that you get in the presence of God. So there are things that can get me angry or grieved, and it's just fleshly. Or especially the angry part, it's just fleshly, it's just a human reaction. And then I can be in the presence of God, worshiping him, praying, meditating on his word, and the burden comes, a burden. And that burden is mixed with brokenness, and that burden is mixed with compassion, and that burden is mixed with love, and that burden is not mad at people, and no people are my enemies. I hate the devil that's out to destroy people's lives. Your whole perspective changes. As soon as our book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, is released, which will be less than 2 weeks from today. That's right. As soon as it's out, you can pre-order on Amazon now if you like. As soon as it's released, we will also be launching our queerthing.com website. And on that will be whole sections of practical things you can do to get involved in just about every area of life we touch on in the book. So here is my bottom line. Satan is raging, very true. The world is falling apart in many ways, very true. Wicked people are doing wicked things, very true. Nonetheless, God is not worried, God is not fazed, God is not discouraged, and God does not just react to what the devil and the world do. He has a plan that he has been moving forward with since before time existed. What we need to do is get in harmony with him. So step back. You hear the bad news, you hear the tragedies, you hear all this, you hear about wickedness. Step back, give yourself to worship, give yourself to prayer, adore God who is good in the midst of this, and then in fellowship with him, say, Father, as your son, as your daughter, as your child, what would you have me to do? Because we are here not to bring despair or hopelessness. We are here to bring an answer from the Lord. Jesus really is the answer, and that works itself out in every area of life. And we are his ambassadors, representatives. Lord, here I am. What would you have me to do? I'm strengthened because of the increase of wickedness. I'm strengthened to take hold of you in a deeper way and to bring an answer to this generation. Friends, go to askdrbrown.org. Click on the online resources. Get enriched. Get encouraged. Back with you tomorrow.